Joining us for the next hour is David Icke. He is here in the United States. He is going to be speaking in Phoenix, Arizona, coming up this next Saturday. He just spoke to a packed house in New Mexico, and the crowds are 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, swelling everywhere he travels with no mainstream media coverage across the world. He is a best-selling author, former championship goalie, former BBC News presenter, and we are extremely honored today to be joined by David Icke. David, I normally throw out my questions at you, and I do have some later in the hour.
Okay.
But I want to do something a little bit different today. I want to try to give you the floor here and get into what you think is most important. I know when we left off with that little interview we did last Wednesday for 30 minutes, you said the awakening is happening and you see the New World Order falling in 2014 to 2016. I agree with you that that's the window of when their fall will occur if we're able to cause the mass revelation or awakening. But later I would like you to get into that, or you get into that first, whatever is most important in David Icke's mind right now. Welcome.
Thanks, Alex. Well, you know, I've been speaking in the last few weeks in Amsterdam. People came from across Europe. Then in Washington State. Yesterday in Santa Fe. All different kinds of people from all walks of life. And there's no question whatsoever that there is a big awakening going on. Because one of the things I get into in detail when I talk is that the foundation of this whole global conspiracy is keeping people's sense of perception, sense of self and the world within a narrow band that suits the agenda. They have to put people who are infinite consciousness, all that is, has been, and ever will be, having an experience in this reality. They have to get those people to believe that they are their name, they are their job, they are their nation, whatever, their culture, when they are experiences, it's not who they are. And, you know, this reality is a virtual reality. What's happening now is that technology is mirroring the reality that we're experiencing. I mean, I've been researching this in great depth for a long time. If I want to go on the internet, I can't just go on the internet. I have to have a conduit, an interface that takes me through so I can observe the internet. It's called a computer. Without that interface, I can't get on the internet. Well, consciousness, which is awareness, it's if you like, energy, it's not any form, that has to have a conduit to experience this reality. And that conduit we call body-mind. And it's fine if you are sitting in front of a computer and you're on the internet, you are aware that the computer is what you're observing through. Imagine if you started to believe that you were the computer. Suddenly, you've lost complete control of your reality because the computer is now making decisions about what you think, where you go on the internet, what you think of it. And when you study the way society is structured, whether it's education or whatever it is, it's structured to pull people into the lower level of awareness we call mind, the interface, so that they believe that who they are is their name and their job and their income bracket and their culture and all the rest of it, their experiences. And what is happening, Alex? It happened to me years ago. It's happening to so many people. Is they're starting to move their point of observation, their sense of self-identity from I am David Icke, born in Leicester in 1952, to I am infinite consciousness, having an experience as David Icke, born in Leicester in 1952. And that shift completely changes everything because you're not looking at a single dot anymore. You're able to see how everything connects. And
David,
I know a guy that came to my talk yesterday in Santa Fe. And
David, we got a break. We got a break here. Stay there. Stay there, and we'll come back and continue along this key line on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Hey. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I have never met David. David Icke in person, but I've interviewed him many, many times and always been honored to have him on, and he's taught me quite a lot. But really, David just shows us what is already in us, what we already innately knew, just weren't consciously focusing on. And I was really excited. I made the split-second decision last Wednesday while talking to David during a break to go to Phoenix this next Saturday where he's speaking, because he says he won't be back to the U.S. perhaps for several years. There's so many demands in Asia and Europe, and he feels like he's really woken a lot of people up here, and he wants to focus on Europe. And so I wanted to go, and I was invited by a lot of other people to go. Then my wife pointed out this weekend, she said, you know, you've got a wedding next Saturday that you've agreed to go to. And one of my daughters is a bridesmaid in it, so I'm going to go take part in that ancient human ritual of wedding. So I won't be able to be there, but I am sending Rob Dew and Aaron Dykes. So we're very, very excited about that. Also, I didn't mention last hour, Fall of the Republic is coming out the 21st, next Wednesday. And we're getting the biggest response ever to this. I want to thank everybody. Please go get the three different trailers that are up on the site. Easiest place to find them is click on the Fall of the Republic banner. Please send them out to your old email list. Please post it on websites. We need this film to be the biggest ever because it breaks down the entire program. That said, going back to David Icke for the balance of the hour, David, some stations don't carry that first 5 minutes. You were getting into how people interface reality just like we interface the internet through a computer. And then the system, the social engineers, they tend to try to engineer our mental focus onto just the computer itself, when really our larger mind and consciousness and who we are is accessing the computer, the five or the six senses.
Yeah, the what we call the five senses and the body mind. And the brain, they are the like the computer interface that we use to go onto the internet, because this is a virtual reality that we are experiencing. And really, you know, it was only when I started to understand the nature of the reality we're experiencing that I could really grasp in a much greater way the nature of the conspiracy that we're experiencing. Because one of the things that, or a crucial thing, that is imposed upon us, or what is suppressed, is the nature of the reality we're experiencing. You know, you can go around the world now, and you can go 24/7 watching television channel after television channel, hundreds of them, thousands of them. When do you ever see a program or an article in any newspaper or magazine that is asking this question? What is the reality we're experiencing? Who are we? What are we doing here? These big questions are never asked, because if you ask them, you start to get big answers, and the big answers go, whoa, I can see it now. The Matrix movie series was so accurate in its symbolism, and indeed more than that, accurate literally in many, many ways. And when the Neo character said in a computer simulation, this isn't real, and the Morpheus character said, what is real? If you're talking about what you can see, touch, hear, taste, then real is just electrical signals interpreted by your brain. And it is, because the prime level of this reality is a vibrational field, a vibrational construct. It's like the wireless internet. You know, I'm sitting here now. This hotel I'm in has the wireless internet. I'm looking around. Where is it? I can't see it, but if I tune this computer to the internet out of the ether, it will pull a collective reality we call the World Wide Web. Now, our reality that we're experiencing is like that. These five senses decode vibrational information encoded in what we call light, in the photons of light, information. They turn it into electrical signals. They send it to the brain, and the brain decodes it into the reality that we think we're experiencing, actually, it's not outside of us, it's inside of us. It's a holographic illusion. You know, if you say to someone, tell me about the internet, they'll say, well, it's graphics and websites and colors and words. Yes, it is, but only on the screen that you're looking at. Everywhere else, it's electronic circuits, etc. Tell me about television. Well, it's moving pictures on a screen. Yes, it is, but only on the screen. Everywhere else, it's not in that form. And if you take information on a disk and you put it in a computer, it's just information. The computer reads that information and turns it into pictures, moving pictures, or whatever on the screen. That's what we're doing. Now, if you know that, Alex, because this is the knowledge that's passed along the top levels, the highest levels of the secret society network, and systematically kept out of the public arena, it means that you know that if you can manipulate the way people read reality, read information, you can get them to create a reality that suits your agenda. For instance, one of the things I did when I was researching some of this is I went to hypnotist stage shows to watch them at work. And you get people, they're stooges on the stage, and the hypnotist implants a belief into their brain, a program, in other words. He gives them a potato, and he tells them, implants the belief they're eating an apple. What they do is they take a bite of the potato, which they should, you know, shy away from. But to them, it tastes like an apple. Why? Because when the electrical signal carrying the information of the potato hits the brain, because of the implanted program, it doesn't read that. It reads information as if it's an apple, and so that's what the person tastes. Now, if you take that basic thing, which they can do so simply, these hypnotists, when they're working with people who are open to it, across the swathe of society, the 24/7 media, the education system, what passes for it, and all these sources of information, what they're doing is they're programming a sense of reality. People like Wolf Blitzer and all these people, they're hypnotists. They don't know they are. 90% of them don't. But they are implanting a belief system. They're implanting a program. And so people who accept that program then read reality to suit the program, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is a major level of how people are programmed to see the world in a way the system desires, and crucially, see themselves in the way the system desires. I'm just Joe Public, little me. I've got no power. Like hell, we have no power.
David, I want to add a point and get your response to it. To simplify some of what you're saying, we are not the computer. We're using the computer to access this larger system.
Exactly.
That manifests, just like our optic nerve manifests the three-dimensional world, or television, or our ears manifest what people are listening to now. It takes those sounds and decodes them. But instead, the television, the culture, the media, it is trying to boil it down to where we're only reactive, only receiving, and not directing our subconscious mind or our soul, our spirit in any way. We're becoming biological androids that are simply directed. Now, let me add something to that. As you point out, the elite know that archetypal symbols, different terms, different ideas, different colors, they're using all these different integrated systems to control us and to manipulate us, and they never want us thinking outside the box and seeing that larger paradigm, because the minute you realize there's something much larger outside, then their defeat is imminent once that simple step can be made. But to expand on that, you notice how the social engineers, the eugenicists, the social Darwinists always say, we're a disease, we're an animal, we're worthless, we have no soul, we can't direct ourselves, we have no destiny, we don't have any power, we simply react. And that is their religion. And they always tell you every child is not special, humanity is not special, but animals are. The elite will make decisions based on what's good for the animals and the earth. They know that we're an incredibly powerful species. They know we have an amazing destiny. And the establishment want to control that destiny for themselves. They, in their own writings that they don't really widely publicize, but that are available publicly, as you know, admit that we are this incredible species and this incredible group of builders meant to have a destiny that we can't even imagine. And so they're trying to get a corner on reality and future development, trying to shut that down. And so that's why they're always telling us that we don't have any power and that we aren't effective and that we don't have some greater goal and why we should obsess on our neighbors and on fashion and on what we look like and on our weight. When, as you've said, all this body is a earth suit that we are limitedly experiencing one tiny channel of the spectrum. Go ahead.
It is a tiny channel too, Alex. I mean, of the mass matter that mainstream science says exists in this universe, and far more does than they understand, I would suggest, that the electromagnetic spectrum is something like 0.005% of what exists in this reality. And visible light, which is the only frequency range that we can decode through the five senses, through sight, is a fraction of the 0.005%. We're on a tiny holographic television station, and if we think that that's all we are, then of course we're being pulled into a very, very narrow band of a sense of possibility, sense of potential. Once you break out of that and you realize that within that band we are having an experience, but it's not who we are, then you start to open yourself to much greater levels of awareness. Not because you're special or you have to sit cross-legged on a mountain or meditate in a cave for 30 years. You just have to move your point of self-identity, your point of observation of self and the world, from I am, you know, Charlie Jones, to I am infinite consciousness having an experience as Charlie Jones. And when people do that, okay, it's happened to me, the shift that takes place, instead of
is quantum. Stay there. Got a break. Okay. David Icke. Key information. Left 35 minutes roughly with David Icke. I want to spend a little bit more time on the nature of reality, let him finish that point, and then I want to get into some of the latest things developing inside the New World Order, inside this false paradigm they have created. Going back to David Icke, you're trying to make a point about the awakening, someone you talked to when you were in New Mexico.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how life goes. You know, when I first began to consciously wake up myself about 20 years ago, I went through a real challenging time because, you know, the top of my head opened and information came in that was so vast and so, you know, amazing. And the volume of it, that basically I had a period of about 3 months when it was like you press too many keys on a computer and the computer freezes and goes, I can't filter this, I can't compute this, I'm freezing. And after that 3 months happened, I kind of everything morphed back into I was the guy I was before, but I saw the world completely differently. And one of the things that I picked up at that time was that there was a cycle coming of a vibrational change that was going to wake people up from this amnesia. And there seemed no chance of it at the time, no sign of it. And the first book I ever wrote after I had my awakening experience, I actually called Truth Vibrations, because after this vibrational change that was going to bring all that had been hidden to the surface so people could see it, and where's the evidence? But 20 years later, look at it. And I am seeing, as I travel around the world, this incredible awakening that's going on. I met a lovely guy in Santa Fe at the talk yesterday who'd come from Texas. And he said to me, 3 months ago, I was totally asleep. And 3 months later, he's coming to an event. He's flying from Texas to Santa Fe to this event. And people are waking up so fast. And it's this awakening that is the real point, I would suggest, of what's going on in terms of all this New World Order. It's absolutely no accident that they are throwing everything at us, and they're preparing to throw everything they can in the next few years at us at the time this awakening's taken place. I mean, I picked up a long time ago, years ago, that the core, the inner core of this New World Order absolutely knew that this awakening was coming, and this vibrational cycle was coming that was going to awaken people to their true nature. And they're battling and battling to keep the lid on it. And what's fantastic, Alex, is as a wonderful line in the sand that we could stand together on, the number of people who are seeing this swine flu vaccine for what it is. You imagine, mate, 10 years ago, if they'd have played this, people had just lined up, not even thought about it. Look at the change that's taking place. And it's happening so fast, it's an exponential curve. And what we're looking at is the irresistible force, which is this awakening, is coming face to face with the immovable object, the conspiracy, which thinks it's immovable but isn't, wishful thinking, Mr. Rothschild and co. And they are going to push forward with this for a while, and it's going to seem as if it's all, you know, it's going the wrong way and all is lost. But by 2016, this whole control system's coming down. Why? Because it's a vibrational construct, like everything is. And as we awaken and this vibrational change takes place, that construct is going to be unpicked. It cannot survive this. It cannot. And what we need to do, I strongly suggest, is slow the progress down of this conspiracy as much as we can, so that it's not as extreme by the time it goes down as it will be if we do nothing. We need to slow it down, its progress, through non-cooperation. It only exists because we cooperate with it. There are a handful of people comparatively at the core of this who know in full knowledge what's happening, why, and what it's for. You know, we've got the numbers. We stop cooperating with our own enslavement, and we'll slow this down very, very fast. As we're showing with the swine flu vaccination, they are not going to get the numbers they wanted. They're not, and they're going to try to up the ante to get them. We must keep that backbone stiff and not succumb to it.
Absolutely, David. And you see them losing more and more ground. You see them panicking as they try to shift us into a new paradigm of even greater dehumanization and tyranny, where torture and war and death and secret police are the new goodness. They are trying to, they understand we're awakening and shifting out of their present tyranny, so they're trying to do a judo move and bring us into even greater oppression. But at every point, their control is collapsing. And as you said, we've got to slow them down because they're going to throw everything at us, including World War III, and it's going to be deadly dangerous.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio.
David Icke will be with us 15 minutes into the next hour. I'm then going to cover all this news. Headline: dollar reaches breaking point as banks shift reserves. Bloomberg: Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. That's all part of just flaunting corruption in our face, trying to teach us to just submit and accept the lies and corruption and just capitulate. We're going to go back to David Icke in just a moment. The power of the people taking action is so important. Obviously, that's a very simple statement, but also very profound. And the public has been brought into this deep false reality. They've been hypnotized. They've been brought into this false left-right paradigm. They have had their priorities set by Madison Avenue. They have literally been put into an alpha state of mind control by the television set. And my new film, Fall of the Republic, Volume 1, is a quantum leap from my other films. The other films are excellent, informative, and are among some of the most watched out there. Even the major publication, New Republic, attacks me, says I'm the most dangerous person out there, basically, and says that I am the counterculture icon. And that's actually scary. And I'm on the White House enemies list, number 24 or 25. They're singling me out. Why is that? Well, they mention the Obama deception, and they say it's been seen more than 4 million times on YouTube alone. And that's true. More than 20 million times that we know of on the web, just on different places where we can count up the views. We need to not just have Fall the Republic become it is a quantum better in production, more informative. It needs to be seen by a quantum level by more people. and the ball is in your court. You can pre-order it right now. We're only 9 days away from its release, October 21st, next Wednesday. And the DVDs are scheduled to be arriving here on Friday. We're going to start shipping those babies out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so as your orders come in, they will be shipped out in the order that they are received. We've hired a few extra people to try to rush all this out as quickly as possible. And we're getting better and better about shipping stuff quickly. The point is, if you want Follow the Republic, go to followtherepublic.com. You can order it there or at InfoWars.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You'll also be able to watch it October 21st. We'll launch it midday on that Wednesday at prisonplanet.tv in the highest quality. There'll also be a mid-level quality DivX version, so you can burn it on CD. That plays on most DVD players, almost all new DVD players. That way you can buy cheap 20, 30 cents disc, burn copies of it, give it out to people. Not only was the Obama deception, and still is, the biggest film we've released for free online views or people making copies of DVDs, it's the best seller we've ever put out. It was out of the park, into the yard. I wanted this to be a grand slam. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, or 888-253-3139. You can also write to me at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. It's $19.95 per copy. You're free to make copies for nonprofit educational purposes. You are not free to sell it. And it's a good thing I made that stipulation. Amazon will not let me open a shopping cart and sell my previous films because other people have opened carts and claim they own my films. And I may have to litigate those people because they're not stopping, or I'll lose my films. I mean, I try to say, here it is, make copies, and then people try to take the films from me. I know folks have tried that with David. All I want to do is get my films out and have them seen by people. But if I can't even own my own films or have my own films, it becomes a very, very serious issue. Side issue, but, you know, folks, I can hang out with Hollywood people all day. But once you know reality, and you don't want to hang out with Hollywood people unless you admire their courage, like Charlie Sheen. I don't want to just hang out with them at their mansions for no reason. I'm less and less about the flesh, about food and sex and things. And it's so liberating. The horizons have expanded so greatly. But how do you understand the limitlessness of the universe and how we're all tied into it? One drop of water in the ocean is only one drop, but it is part of the great ocean. In its different permutations, it will experience the ocean. It will be in so many other life forms. I mean, there's this limitlessness. How do you experience that limitlessness, but at the same time, stay in this three-dimensional realm and fight the tyranny? That's a question I have for David Icke. David, I have a lot of quick questions for you now because I want to cover a lot of ground with you and pick your brain here today. But how do you not become like some of the folks in India who just say, so what if my kid dies? So what if bad things happen? You know, it's all part of the limitlessness, so you just float away into space, versus another cop-out, the phony Rockefeller churches, World Council, National Council of Churches, openly bragging that they teach the Christians, lay down, submit to tyranny, you can't change anything, you're going to be teleported out by Captain Kirk and the rapture, though that's not even in the Bible, a pre-tribulation rapture. As you said, we've got to fight this tyranny now as this great battle comes to fruition so that we can bypass much of the pain and suffering. It's going to be bad, but everything we do now charts the course of future human destiny. How do we get people to tune into the fact that the great decision is being made, the greatest crossroads in human history, and deciding our future destiny? We hold humanity's destiny in our hands. How do we make that decision? How do we get people to take part? Because now I don't even hate the evil globalists. I don't like them and want to fight them. Before, I really hated them and had wrath towards them, and I still do. But more and more, I feel sorry for them and their minions who are missing out on this great paradigm.
Well, first of all, Alex, they're pathetic. They're pathetic little control freaks. Why are they control freaks? What is a control freak? It's a terrified, frightened person, because those that wish to control everything are seeking to control it because they're terrified of these people couldn't watch a football match without making sure they knew the result before the game started, because this is why they say in their own writings that one of the things that could bring them down is Mavericks, because Mavericks just flow and they don't get in fear of things just happening as they happen. So they're terrified. They want to control everything because they're terrified of not being in control of everything. They're pathetic. And what they don't understand is people who are not looking and being attached to an outcome, not wanting to control other people, but just living in the moment. They don't understand that, and that's why they fear Mavericks, because that's what Mavericks in that sense do. In terms of what you were saying earlier about, we're all consciousness and it's just an experience, so it doesn't matter. Well, the question comes, yes, it is just an experience, but do you want a nice experience? Do you want your children to go through a terrible experiences? Do you want them to have their freedom to express themselves denied? Do you want to have them dumbed down through drugs and all the rest of it? Do you want them to be controlled every minute of the day, including eventually their thoughts, their very thoughts? Well, do you want that? No. So I ain't lying down, because I don't want my kids or any other kids or any adults to go through that. I don't want to go through it myself.
Well, more than that, though, at the spiritual level, the establishment is manifesting their Hellraiser-type world here in the third dimension. They are manifesting this hellish system. This is our test. We are being tested of what we really are, and we're making a decision about what we are in eternity, aren't we?
Yeah. What's important is what I said earlier, to move our point of self-identity from I am Charlie Jones to I am consciousness, having an experience of Charlie Jones. The reason for that, crucially now, Alex, is because we're entering a period where they're going to throw everything at us, not just the kitchen sink, as we say, but the plug as well. And if we get caught in the five senses, if we're in this world and of this world, and this is our only sense of reality, it's going to be very, very challenging, to say the very least. If we move our point of observing it to it's an experience, still going to be challenging, but it completely changes everything. You know, I've got a quote here from someone who had a near-death experience. What is a near-death experience? It's when that awareness, which is what we are, the eternal part of us, withdraws from the computer mind interface during a near-death experience, and suddenly what they say is there's a massive expansion of awareness and consciousness. Why? Because you're not being subject to the limitations of the computer anymore. And this is what the man said he experienced. And this is who we are. Everything from the beginning, my birth, my ancestors, my children, my wife, everything comes together simultaneously. I saw everything about me and about everyone who was around me. I saw everything they were thinking now, what they thought then, what was happening before, what was happening now. There is no time, there is no sequence of events, no such thing as limitation of distance, of period, of time, of place. I could be anywhere I wanted to be simultaneously. Now, what he was describing is who we really are, Alex. And can you imagine if you're a control system, mate, and you want to control humanity en masse? Can you imagine how terrified you would be of people realizing that's who they are? Your control system's over. You have to make them think that they're powerless little me's. And if we can move our self-identity, our observation of this reality, to that level of who we are, suddenly not only do we take our power back and start to manifest what we call miracles, which are not miracles at all, they're just possibility manifesting itself because we understand now it's possible, but it also will get us through this experience in a much smoother way than it would if we get caught in I am my body and I am my name and all that stuff.
David, let me throw two points out at you along that line and get your response. And I do want to run through a bunch of separate points and get your quick response to those. It's very humbling. Throughout my life, very early on, and I know everyone is having this experience. I'm going to make that point. This is nothing special. It's, I guess, just special in how this information manifests and the choices I've made, destiny, in how many people I'm now reaching. but that I've always had a love affair with creation and humanity and goodness and love and beauty. And I always didn't have the experience of who I was my entire life, my ancestors, who people are, where they came from, but I could see shadows of that. And then now, you talk about being overwhelmed for 3 months. Now I am like that every day before I go to bed at night, and I literally lay there with my limited consciousness and focus, being able to peer into this window and look into that window and open this box and, you know, expand into this area, and it's accurate and it's real. And now I look at an incredibly beautiful woman, or I look at some, you know, hunchback, disheveled cleaning person. It doesn't matter. And I see the beauty of the species. I literally, that's how I see them, as their ancestors, their struggles, the good, the bad, the ugly, the tumults, the great exertions, the great failures, the great victories. I realize I'm connected to everyone. And it accelerates to a point of where I do have to struggle just to not close down shop, move to the country, and literally sit under a tree, because I'm more and more drawn to that. But then I also am also separately just as passionately drawn towards resisting the globalists and meeting them and facing them. And then I feel the strength of humanity, and then I begin to envision our destiny. And I just wish that other people could see it, so that they wouldn't be destroyed and wouldn't be part of this system, and wouldn't be taken over by this metastasizing counterfeit, as they admit they're using Google and the technocracy so they can play God and predictive systems and algorithms to know what we're going to do and what our tastes are and who we are. And it just all, it's like trying to drink out of Lake Superior with a pixie straw.
Yeah, I've got a quote from Einstein, who to a very large extent had sussed a lot of things. He talked about the delusion. He called reality an illusion, albeit a persistent one. Well, it's a persistent one because we keep decoding it out of the wireless internet that I'm talking about.
It keeps on coming.
He said this delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. And that's what kind of happens as you open your mind. It's literally opening your mind. Nothing wrong with mind. It's the interface. It's like saying something wrong with a computer when you're going on the internet. But it has to take its place to serve consciousness and serve the experience and not be the governor. And as you kind of do that, you do widen your circle of compassion, because from the people immediately around you, because you start to realize that you are the ocean. You're not just a droplet. They want us to believe we're a droplet, because then, you know, we're just a droplet. What can we do?
Well, that was my point. The droplet is the ocean.
You can, access the ocean. I mean, it's all over. And this awakening is going to, as this control system comes down, it is literally going to transform this world into what we would call now utopia. It's not utopia. It's unnatural state. You see, I use this analogy in my talks, you know, about how amazing we really are. If you've got a ball in a tank of water, its natural state is floating on the top of the tank. To put it in an unnatural state, which is what this control system has done to humanity, you have to push the ball to the bottom of the tank, and you have to hold it there. You can't let go, because, boom, it's in its natural state in a second.
And so the vaccines, the water, the television.
What they have to do is throw everything at us, including destabilizing our body computer receiver transmitter system through the additives in food and drink. They have to program us in the way I talked about earlier, through the education system and the media. All these things they have to do to keep us in an unnatural state. That's how amazing we are. And we're going back to that state, and it's coming down.
Now, a lot of the suicidal nihilists, and I have this in Endgame, the quotes, top futurists, computer developers, very wealthy people, they say that if we can't control the Earth, we're going to destroy it, because we have to be in control. We have to go unwilling. And we see Lenin in his poetry about how he wanted to destroy the earth and sun. they are going to attempt to destroy things. As 2016, in your view, your vision, approaches, how are they going to try to freeze us? Well, we're about to go to break. We're going to come back and look at that.
Okay.
Because will they be allowed to destroy the Earth? Because they say they're going to kill everybody. They'll just blow the planet into 1,000 pieces if we attempt to take control of it from them by simply no longer being under their control. And then I want to get into all this news about world government and what's happening with all these Satanists openly announcing the different things they're doing. We're going to talk about it. We've got David Icke into the next hour with us, and I've got a lot of world government news we're going to be covering. David, I went over an article written for Infowars.com called The Real Sicko Movie, and it talks about Roman Polanski raping that little 13-year-old girl and how Nicolas Sarkozy and all these stars are saying it's not a big deal. But then they're the ones pushing CPS laws where if you yell at your child when they run out in the street, they take your children away. So they're always saying, oh, we love you so much, we want to take all your rights, but then we're going to rape children. The head of France's arts, number three position in the cabinet, is the relative of François Mitterrand. He's Frederick Mitterrand. And he wrote a book, and he's the current culture minister, talking about how he goes to slave camps and rapes little boys. In France, as you know, they're always finding dead people. And at a Rothschild castle back in 1999, a woman escaped who was 85 pounds, 87 pounds, and the police did nothing. You've studied the ritual Satanism. It's very real. And you don't even come from this from a – every time I talk about the occultists, they email me and say, oh, how dare you, Christian? We're the old-time religion. We predate you. We're not sacrificing anybody. But we know that's what they really do. They're always being caught doing it. And now you have out in the open the head of France's – art saying, yes, I rape children and I'm allowed to, and it's wonderful and I love raping them. So this isn't just about why they do this. It's also they're throwing it in our face by doing it out in the open, and the CIA admitting they torture people, and Obama saying he's going to continue it, including the rape of children at Abu Ghraib with large objects dripping with battery acid. That's the Army's own report. And it goes on and on from there. They are trying to superimpose that on us and create a climate where that is normal. Why are they doing this?
Well, it's part of the programming to bring the horrors that they have done in secret up to this point, to bring it more and more into acceptability. They'll be bringing this more and more to the fore, because what you've just described, they want to bring this into the mainstream eventually. But talking about Roman Polanski, because I have done an enormous amount of research into this whole area that you just talked about. Roman Polanski is a practicing Satanist. He's been a practicing Satanist all the way through his career. And all that stuff what happened with Charles Manson and his wife and the family and all that stuff was all connected into it. Whenever I follow these people, whether it's the Rothschilds, whether it's people like the Bush family, particularly Father George Bush, by the way, and I follow them through, they always lead to the same place, which is ritual sacrifice, Satanism, and child abuse, sexual abuse. And one of the things that they're doing, which they are feeding off the child's energy, and what they want is the child before puberty, because when people go through puberty, as we know, there are chemical changes that take place. They want the energy of the child before that chemical change happens, and so they rape children, and in doing so they're literally sucking their energy out of them, their life force. That's the word. And
by the way, let me stop you.
I know so much more about this now after the last few weeks. They are possessed by entities that operate just outside of visible light. These are the demons, and under other names that people have talked about, and religions and ancient texts have talked about. And these demonic entities, they feed off human energy. They feed off the child's energy because they're possessing the rapist, if you like, of the child.
David, I don't want to interrupt you, but we've got to for the break. That's what Frederick Mitterrand says in here. He calls it a ritual.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
So we have this nephew of the late French president, François Mitterrand. François Mitterrand openly said he was a Luciferian practitioner. He designed or commissioned the 666 gold pieces of the pyramid at the Louvre. Let's punch up the Louvre pyramid, for folks. Just Google Louvre pyramid. And then he's got his family member, the head of the French art department, number three in the parliament, in the cabinet, appointed by Nicolas Sarkozy. They're all defending Roman Polanski raping this 13-year-old girl. And he says, hey, I love doing the rituals with young boys. And he goes, I love raping them. And it goes on here. David Icke, you got cut off by the break. Continue.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, if you look back through what we call history, you'll see this common theme of sacrificing young virgins to the gods all over the world. Well, the gods were, is code, if you like, for these demonic entities. And young virgins is code for children. They were children that they were sacrificing. And what they do in these satanic rituals is they create the terror of the victim. They build up the terror. It's all systematic. So it reaches a point of absolute terror in the victim as it gets closer to the sacrifice. And these demonic entities, just outside of visible light, but within the frequency range of the emotion of terror that's being it's an energy which is being generated, they're feeding off that. And then at the point of sacrifice, that terror manifests itself in an adrenaline that enters the bloodstream, a very powerful adrenaline. And the human Satanists, if you like, the people we're talking about, when the child or the adult too is sacrificed, they drink the blood immediately, which has this adrenaline, which gives them some kind of high. I mean, these are the people, Alex, that are running governments all over the world. That's why they're defending this Satanist child abuser, Polanski. They're running the intelligence agencies. They're running the military. They're running the corporations. Because that movie by Stanley Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, his last movie, and he died very, very soon after the executives of the movie corporation watched it at the first viewing. He died very soon after.
Well, it's more than that. I remember at the time talking to people involved, and it came out in the news. They made him cut 25 minutes. He refused to cut it. Then he suddenly died.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then they cut it.
I was going to say that. And we've never seen that. A film that was cut, and yet even when you look at it, Alex, that was what was even left in. He was telling the truth about what goes on with the mansion and the rituals, except it was a very mild version of it. And these are the people that are running the world, and it's time they weren't, and the time is coming when they won't, because. You know, one thing I'm very, very, very aware of is that there is another force, call it consciousness, call it whatever you like. There's a force that is working to bring an end to this, and that's what is going to prevail. And we're seeing at the moment, we're seeing a cornered rat or cornered rats, and they're going to, like rats do when you corner them, they're going to be thrashing out in all directions, but but that's what it is. It's the death throes. It's going to be very challenging for us, but it's the death throes of this stuff.
And then I forgot to get you to answer that question. They're threatening to destroy the planet if we try to take control back away from them or just end the control. And other final questions for our guest, David Icke, on the other side. And I want to be clear with people. Even if you don't believe in Satanism and in this Luciferian bloodletting, that's what all the elites are into. In their own words, not mine.
Have you?
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
There's an old adage. The devil's greatest trick was convincing the world he didn't exist. And that's why psychopaths are able to pick up young women and children. That's why dictators are able to rise to power. That's how this Michael Hilton con artist could go take over the town in Hardin, Montana. Because people don't want to admit they're being conned or that other people are taking advantage of them. Final segment with David Icke. I want to make this point, though. Just from a anthropology view or from the angle of archaeology. I don't claim to be a historian, but I have made a wide study of history. It's so huge. No one can even be an expert really in one area, in my opinion. It's so lengthy in the different interpretations of history. But whether it was the Babylonians or whether it was the Romans or whether it was the Greeks, or whether it was many of the Middle Eastern tribes, Asian tribes, African tribes, Mesoamerican tribes, the Aztecs, they all had high priests who all followed the same secret mathematics religion. They all worshiped the same snake god, and they all demanded women, children, and men, normally the most beautiful, the most healthy, to be sacrificed, and the Aztecs particularly believed great pain had to be created. Now, even the elites there, not just children having their hearts cut out and cut up into meat, that's how the priests funded themselves, was the sale of the number one meat that was consumed, human flesh, in all of the Mayan kingdoms, but particularly the most aberrant, the Aztecs, the most extreme, that they would take long pieces of rope with glass through their tongues and through their genitals to create hallucinations of pain while taking hallucinogens. And you see that in all these different cultures, believing that they had to feed the snake god with the blood. And so even if you don't believe in God, the devil, two different forces, any of this, the point is Tony Blair, his wife, I mean, they admit Blair went all over the world, Francois Mitterrand, all of them, to be possessed by the spirit of white light. He would hit the ground every morning, flop around. That's mainstream news. The Bushes and Skull and Bones in big pits of feces and urine, being reborn in homosexual orgies. Someone dresses the devil with a crown, brings them into knights in Satan's service. This is admitted. And so you need to understand this is real. Even if you're an atheist and don't believe in anything outside the limited senses you have, and you don't believe in the six senses or anything that have been proven in university studies, you must know that the most aberrant, the most destructive have created a kingdom of psychopathic delight to trample on and be trampled on, to press on the nerves of power, to humiliate innocence and beauty. Because to them, the psychopath describes being in a cold, horrible, depressed place until they're torturing a child, until they're torturing a woman. Then it's like a blazing light. I've had the top psychiatrist on who've interviewed hundreds of killers, and it's all the same. They are alive when they've got a woman chained down, biting chunks out of her. They're alive. Hitler was only happy. He would go to the front and watch through high-power binoculars burning cities and could stay up for days on end without drugs or coffee, just loving the death and the burning and the black uniforms and the armored vehicles. This is the spirit of the New World Order. It is death, and it seeks to kill. David Icke, the elite have stated openly, and we have this in my film Endgame, that they will destroy the planet before they let true humanity bloom. Where do you see that going?
Wishful thinking. There's a lot of wishful thinking going within their cabal, because, you know, compared with consciousness in its true state, compared with the infinite consciousness that is all that is and we are part of, and we are, they are a fly on an elephant's back. They have a massively inflated opinion of their own power, because they are completely, exactly as you've just described, for the reasons you've just described, they are absolutely disconnected from higher levels of awareness and consciousness. They are in a tiny box themselves. They've only been able to control us because they've manipulated us into a smaller box of awareness than they're in. And when we awaken, this is why they're terrified of it, we just blow the fly off the elephant's back when we're in our true power. And this vibrational change, this consciousness shift, this consciousness awakening is coming. They're going to get blown away by it eventually in a few years from now, because they don't have the power they think they have, because they're in a bubble. Therefore, they don't know the picture either. They don't know the big picture. They can't access it at that level that's got the big picture. And the big picture is what is now manifesting itself through more and more and more people, and the big picture is going to bring this down. You know, there's many people I wouldn't like to be for the next little part of our existence, and every single one in the control system is top of that list. I really wouldn't like to be them when they realize the true nature of what's actually going on.
That's right. They punish themselves when they realize that they're damning themselves off from the universe. We don't punish them. The Creator doesn't punish them. They punish themselves. What happens to them, David Icke, as the shift occurs?
Well, I could talk about this at some considerable length, but they are connected vibrationally. They're connected to the control construct. It's a vibrational construct, and they're connected to it. They're part of it. And when that comes down, well, they're out of here. They're out of here. They're not going to be here anymore.
But you say the elites don't know that in all their fairy tales and all their archetypes. When the evil wizard loses his orb, the whole palace collapses on him.
Yes, because, you know, it's a vibrational construct. You could symbolize it in your mind as a vibrational box. And they are attached to it. They're part of it. They're an expression of it. So when the box comes down, when that vibrational construct is unpicked and just falls, they fall and go with it. They're at the physical level, these guys are going out of existence because obviously, as consciousness, higher levels of themselves that they're completely disconnected from, that continues to exist because we are all eternal consciousness. But that level of them that has become isolated in this reality to the point where they're completely disconnected from the true level of who they are, that's going when this change takes place.
I want to throw out a few other points, just getting back to the lay of the ground, the topography here in the third dimension. David Icke, there's no doubt the awakening's happening, and we're always saying it's happening, but now it's exponential in whole magnitudes of level. So is their tyranny. Obama being announced the Peace Prize for torture and expanding wars, throwing it in our face, saying this is what we honor, a sick joke. Handing the internet fully over to ICANN and the UN 2 weeks ago. Open announcements of the end of the dollar. Open announcements of world government. They're moving on every front. There is no doubt that they are attempting to make their final move. Why are they doing this at this time?
Well, they're doing this, as I said earlier, because the inner core know and have known for a long time that this period was coming, when this vibrational energetic cycle, it's a natural cycle, it was going to start to get people to break out of their mind prisons. And so they have thrown everything they can, and there's more to come, obviously, at us at this period of time, because they know this is happening and they want to put the lid on it.
What do they think about us?
Alex, if you look at it from another angle, because, you know, it seems that they're all powerful and all this. You know what they're throwing? All these things, you could list them forever, the things that are coming in. Why? It's panic. It's blind panic. They might be arrogant on the outside, but not on the inside. It's blind panic because
well, that's what I was going to say.
They know that even their control system is under more threat than ever before. And I got news for them. You know, chill out, guys. It's coming down.
Well, I agree with you, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
It is. The next few years are going to be big time challenging.
What do they think of us? I mean, I've had 5 big hit pieces the last couple of days against me, and they're almost marveling. Oh, he's dangerous. He's hypnotic. He's rising. He's got them chanting the answer to 1984, 1776. He stood before Bilderberg and said, your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. And if just little old redneck Alex Jones has got them literally, even in their own writings, afraid, don't they understand that I'm only one little expression? David Icke is only one little expression?
Well, you see, we go back. We talked a little while ago, earlier this year, about that film A Bug's Life, you know, and where the grasshopper said, oh, but one ant stood up to us, you know, and if they figure out that they outnumber us 100-1, then that goes our way of life. They're terrified of what I call the first domino, because they know if the first domino goes down, it hits another domino and the whole
thing. But it's already gone down.
So they target people who could push the first domino down and start this whole thing. Well, a lot of dominoes have already gone down, but you know what I mean?
But they know if they kill us.
Brilliant. It means you're doing something they don't want us to do. Great.
But if they kill David Icke or Alex Jones, they also know that will definitely be a domino. So they want to attack us, but at the same time, they know it only makes us stronger, and they know we're out of fear, ready for that if it happens. We don't want it to happen, but we're ready. David, it's been the most amazing interview ever. Promise me you'll come back in a couple of months. I know you're very, very busy.
Yeah, no problem, Alex.
Tell folks about the event. It's almost sold out in Phoenix. DavidIcke.com. This is your chance. Almost sold out, folks.
Yeah, it's in Phoenix. It's this Saturday. I'm speaking all day from about 10 o'clock through to the early evening in 3 sections. I'll be speaking for about 8 hours, connecting loads of dots, not just you know, about the conspiracy, but the real deep background from where it's come. It's some really, really deep and amazing stuff.
And it's a gorgeous theater, a great atmosphere.
Saturday.
A great atmosphere to experience. David Icke this Saturday in Phoenix. Be there. I can't be there. My crew will be there. David, love you. Appreciate everything you're doing, buddy.
Cheers, Alex. You too.
I'm going to say bye to you during the break. We'll be back.